and welcome to the Astra Economic Review. My name is John Eckstein. I'm the Chief Investment Officer of Astra Investment Management. I'm joined today by my friend and partner, Brian Novak. Brian, hello.
Hello, John. Nice to be here today on the day of the eclipse.
Day of the eclipse. We're recording the eclipse, so I don't know if riots break out. We'll try and keep recording through it. We're going to pod through it. So we wanted to bring a little bit of an update as to the recent economic news. We'll touch on last Friday's payroll. We'll touch on recent inflation numbers and the Fed outlook. I'm going to say, in a nutshell, I see the economy as pretty stable. I see payrolls, the labor market still solid, inflation down from its peaks. Maybe we've seen all the improvement we're going to get on that front. I'm not sure about that. We'll talk about that later. And I see the Fed as being a little more cautious than people thought at the beginning of the year. And I'm actually a little bit more optimistic about the economy than I was a few months ago when people were looking for a recession. What's your nutshell view of the economy, Brian?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, when I was looking through charts of the Fed funds, you know, December Fed funds futures.
Yep.
As everybody came into the year, we could take us all the way back to the end of Q3 last year, right? And, you know, expectations were that rates were still up. And then all of a sudden, we had an avalanche of expectations of lower rates. And then we hit the beginning of this year. And here we are. We've done a 180 round trip. Fed fund futures now are pricing in about the same level they did back to October. So I think what it's telling us is that all the data seems to be holding up in the face of higher rates. And the economy is getting pretty comfortable with where things are. Now, labor market might be tight, let's do air quotes tight, but the numbers keep coming in strong, so it's hard to argue.
I agree. Let's just punch through some numbers real quick here. So let's go through the payrolls was strong. I don't think there's any other way to put it. Last month, change in non-farm payrolls, 300,000. That's above the natural growth rate. Most of that was in private payrolls, revisions positive, unemployment down a tick. So two of the ancillary series I wanted to highlight. One would be average hourly earnings. So the series that we get with payroll is not as good as some of the other series because it doesn't adjust for composition effects. Like if there's a lot more people with low wage jobs get hired, then the average wage will go down. Other series are a little bit more careful about trying to track payroll trends consistently. But it's the data that we have. And so, you know, that's running about 30 basis points a month, pretty much right in the money. So a little bit more than 3% a year. You take out some inflation and a small rise in real wages with that implied. While the 12-month trend in that number is still turning down from 4 or 4.5, or in 2022, it's gone down pretty steadily. A 3-month trend has bumped off its lows. The 6-month trend, that number is kind of unchanged the last 6 months, maybe even, maybe going up a little bit, depending on how you look at it. So, like, I do not see wages as moderating. I don't see them as out of control, but there have been some thoughts that maybe wages are moderating. I'm not sure I see that in the 2024 data. Do you have any thoughts on wages, Brian?
No, that seems to be fairly consistent with this theme we're talking about, where we've moderated inflation. We've had disinflation, and we're moderating this, let's call it this 3% range. And everything seems to be fairly consistent with that. You know, I think it has not allowed the grumblings from the average consumer to go away in terms of, you know, costs out there in the world. But it does seem that things are, we're getting a little more used to this now, you know, with oil up pretty strong so far this year. Price at the pump aggravating people a little bit, but that seems to be just a natural ebb and flow. But yeah, it doesn't seem to be problematic, and seems to be actually with disinflation, and we're settling in and wages being slightly above there, that's not a bad thing, right?
And then another thing that's worth mentioning is that there is a difference. We probably talked about it last month. We certainly talked about it a couple of times in the last 6 months. There's a difference in the two surveys. Is the payroll survey, yes, businesses, it's a household survey, you call it people. And they're measuring slightly different things, but you can reconcile them, and the Bureau of Labor Statistics helpfully does that. And usually over time, those reconciled series are pretty close, but there's a big gap. The gap has been widening between those two series, where the establishment survey is always more stable and has been accelerating at a good clip in 2024. And the household survey adjusted to the establishment concept is actually going down. So this is a concern. It's not a press the panic button concern, and it narrowed slightly this month, but it is a sign that maybe something we don't quite 100% understand is going on in the labor market. So just want to bring that to everybody's attention that, we measure this multiple different ways, and at least one of the ways is looking maybe a little bit weaker than the others. And sometimes these gaps close and it turned out to be a turning point, and sometimes they close and it doesn't.
So what are we talking about here, John? That just for the folks at home, that where the surveys of companies are overestimating jobs maybe a little bit, or overestimating the actual workers, because there are some, the household survey is just picking up that one worker who's at two, three different jobs. Is that what this is, the
No.
differential?
Right. That is a possibility. That is a possibility that it's multiple employment is one of the things that could be happening. Another thing that could be happening is that, maybe we're cap maybe something's wrong with the adjustment process too, right? That I think they need to take into account. I think they try to actually take into account people in the informal sector. And maybe that's tighter since the pandemic. Like a lot of rules have changed. And I guess it's probably not impossible that, it's harder to work without papers than it used to be. But the gap is substantial, right?
Certainly
Like
is,
4
yes.
million, something like that. Like
Yeah.
a lot. And quite high. It's been on a percentage basis, it's been this high before. Yeah, and there's no real rule whether which one catches up or which one doesn't. So.
Yeah, and I think maybe this underscores the point that, as you brought up a minute ago, the post-pandemic labor force is modestly different than previous, and we just have to adjust to this. And I think it speaks to why we utilize, multiple inputs on the labor side to sort of get more of an aggregate view, a better mosaic as far as what's happening in the labor market. Because if firstly, what we're looking at and what's been holding the economy up is consumer spending, like we need the consumer to work, and identifying that particular strength and or weakness in that particular area is paramount and part of the reason why we focus on that.
Right. And, if you multiply through the components of the employment situation report, you can multiply jobs times hours times wages. That'll give you an estimate of your total output. And that number had been going down steadily, steadily. The change in that number had been going down steadily, steadily since the end of the pandemic. And that sure looks to me like it has bottomed as well. And, really trucking along at it, like something that would be consistent with a higher level of GDP, real GDP growth, something in the 3 to 4%, not like the 1 to 2%. So that is sort of where we are in terms of that sort of aggregate number. So let's talk about a little bit about inflation. And I kind of want to suggest that maybe inflation has bottomed in its improvement. Like, I'm not 100% sure that's the case, but you know, just on fairly simple measures. Like if you look at the 3-month change in core PCE or the 6-month change in core PCE, those are both off their lows. And sure, I mean, they start going back down, but you know, you're sort of having to assume that something is going to happen there. Now we will get, do you have a sense of what inflation is doing these days, Brian?
Yeah, I mean, I would think that, you know, some of the things we were mentioning before, how it's somewhat, I mean, look at oil prices are definitely on the way back up. And it does seem that general costs are stabilizing. You know, we've had that debt disinflation, but they're stabilizing. And the economy seems to be getting used to it. I mean, dare we say, is it possible the Fed may have, you know, they're looking at something and trying to be patient with this rather than getting yelled at and cutting rates substantially ahead of possible stabilizing the increase in inflation? I mean, that seems plausible, right? Look at rate expectations. But it does seem to be, and if you look at, you know, one of the things you mentioned talking about before, speaking of bottoming, manufacturing index, which has been a source of weakness for what's about a year and a half, maybe more at this point, seems to be, you know, showing green shoots. The labor
That's definitely worth mentioning. You know, on a couple of different, both of the different surveys that we track are above 50, so showing growth and above their local minimums. So I mean, it's not totally clear that these surveys are still working as well as they did before the pandemic. I'm not 100% sure why that would be the case, but, you know, it does feel a little bit iffier than it used to. But for what it's worth, those both look positive.
Yeah, and the prices paid, while prices paid for manufacturing was actually higher than expectations in the mid-50s, even while in the index ticked marginally, but it is in the expansion area now. And new orders picked up. While employment was a little weaker there as well as in the ISM services side, but prices paid, back to your point about, you know, where's inflation going? If we can read some solid expectations out of these numbers, the prices paid component of it have been pretty steady and staying elevated rather than continuing to decline.
Yeah. And you were bringing up, before we jump on the call, the New York Fed does an inflation expectations survey, which hopefully they started before the last inflation bout. So yay, good for you, New York Fed. And if you look, it's not a super long series starts in 2018. But if you look at it, it shows that inflation by this expectations reading, and I would interpret this as another measure of contemporaneous inflation, right? Like, I don't think that if you ask a bunch of people out there that they know where inflation is going. I think it's better as a measure of where it is. I could be wrong about that. You see it turn up a little bit before the official measure. You see it lag the peak a little bit. And in 2024, you don't see any more improvement, right? So right now it's saying that inflation expectations for the next year, the next 12 months, about 3%. And that's what it was at the end of last year or two. So as opposed to the previous 18 months when the inflation expectations were going down month after month after month. So not only is 3% above the Fed's target, you don't necessarily think that you expect the public to overestimate inflation a little bit. So they'd probably be fine with this, but not seeing any more improvement there and not seeing any more improvement in core PCE. Like, I think there's a case to be made that you have to assume inflation has bottomed until you see more evidence that it's continuing to improve. You think that's too soon for that, to say that, Brian, or what do you think of that?
I mean, I think it's hard to argue with the data because you look at that particular measurement you were talking about, expectation from the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, and then juxtapose that with University of Michigan expectations as well. I mean, they have certainly picked up. Now, that's a little more volatile. It has picked up faster. But to the extent that you can rely upon the responses from, you know, general consumers out there, they are certainly seeing things more stable to moving higher than they are on the downside. Now, could some of that be related to higher oil prices? Sure, that could beat its way through there, but there certainly is a stability that is evident in the inflation picture at this point. And until we see further evidence, it's hard to argue against it.
Right. And so that brings us around to what we think the Fed is going to do. And I think the Fed's going to continue to pause, right? Like, I don't think there's any sign that, you know, there's no reason for them to cut rates next month. And you would only do that prophylactically, right? You're like, oh, we're trying to see look around the corner, and the economy is about to get weak. That's not what they do in general. And, you know, I think they would need to see unambiguous inflation going down and also signs of weakness, right? Like, if there's nothing wrong, there's nothing wrong. Like, what are you trying to fix by cutting rates right now?
Yeah, I think as we elegantly outlined before, the inflation picture is stable to moderating slightly higher. So why, if the economy truly is strengthening or it is showing signs of improvement and the manufacturing starts to pick up and labor markets continue to be solid, then why would they preempt that, to your point? Why would they get ahead of that? So it does seem to be clear that the earliest we'll see that is probably June, if we do get it at that point.
Yeah. So if we look back, you brought up the Fed Fund futures market before. That's definitely worth keeping an eye on. And they see a one cut in July and then a second cut in November. The way the calendar works, the November meeting is after the election. I'm pretty sure the Fed has never cut into September before a presidential election. Not 100% sure on that. If we had interns, we would make one do that.
It's on the list.
It's on the list for when we get interns. So that's what the market thinks. It's 2.5 cuts this year is their expectation. And we will see, as you pointed out, like that's a strong revision from the beginning of the year.
It's strong revision. You know, even looking out at, say, the June contracts, there doesn't seem to be any light between that and substantial cuts.
No.
So.
Okay. I think we'll leave it there, Brian. Thanks for your time. If you would like any more information about our economic views, you can check out the Aster website, AsterIM, that's IM for investmentmanagement.com, or you can reach out to your Aster sales rep. Thanks, Brian.
Thank you, John.
Astor Investment Management, LLC, is an SEC-registered investment advisor. All investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. There is no guarantee any investment strategy will achieve its objectives or be profitable. All information contained herein is for informational purposes only and does not constitute advice for any particular individual. This is not a solicitation to offer investment advice or services in any state where to do so would be unlawful. Analysis and research are provided for informational purposes only, not for trading or investment purposes. All opinions expressed are as of the date of publication and subject to change. They are not intended as investment recommendations. Occasionally, guest speakers not affiliated with Astor are featured, and their opinions are their own and not necessarily shared by Astor. See Astor's Form ADV on AstorIM.com or the SEC website for additional information.